Good morning, good morning. Oh, good afternoon, good afternoon.
What time is it with you?
9:30.
Oh, 9:30. Okay, that is okay because I talked to Megan.
Yes, she's 3 hours before me.
I just wanted to say we now have a meeting where it's 4 p.m. my time and 7 a.m. her time.
Wow.
And she agreed. I'm not even sure if I can do 7 o'clock in the morning.
I couldn't.
Ever.
I
I
couldn't.
couldn't either.
But you know, she's the people on the West Coast are so used to doing early because so much of the country is 2 or 3 hours ahead of them. So
Ah.
it's not that unusual for them.
The US market is just huge. Huge.
It's like all of Europe. It's the size of Europe, you know. If
Yeah.
you think about France and Italy and Germany and London and England, and that's what the US is, so.
And let's face it, you have kind of all these cultures inside as well.
It's crazy. Yeah. It is. It is. It's just like you are a number of countries. So if you took Europe and called it the United Countries,
Yes.
we just took all those little states and called them the United States.
Exactly. If you compare, I don't know, New York and Texas and California, they're like completely different cultures, right?
They are. Like some of us say, just let Texas go be their own country. We don't need them.
That's like Bavaria in Germany. That's what they say about Bavaria as
Do
well.
they?
They do, yeah.
Oh,
We're
that's
just a
good.
little
That's
bit different here. What can I
yeah.
say? Ordnung trifft, dein Podcast für den Blick in die Welt der Ordnung. But now we're already jumping into that whole new topic that I'm starting with this episode now. And I would like to quickly jump into German so I can explain everybody what's going on, why we are starting in English.
Absolutely.
An alle da draußen, die jetzt zur Staffel 4 eingeschaltet haben. Wir starten mit Ordnung International. Und ich habe einen ganz tollen Gast heute, und zwar die Ellen Fay, die ehemalige Präsidentin der amerikanischen NAPO. Was das ist, wer das ist und was alles dahinter steht, das wird sie uns gleich erzählen. Aber ich bereite euch schon mal vor, in den nächsten Folgen wird es um Ordnung in allen Ländern dieser Welt gehen. Ich hoffe, ich kriege so viele Menschen wie möglich zusammen, aber ich kann euch schon mal sagen, es wird um China gehen, es wird um Skandinavien gehen, es wird um die Schweiz, um Österreich natürlich, also Zentraleuropa und, und. Ich werde da noch auf jeden Fall ganz viele spannende Leute rauszaubern aus dem Hut, aber jetzt geht es erstmal um den amerikanischen Markt. Herzlich willkommen zu Folge 28 von Ordnung trifft. Heute zu Gast die liebe Ellen Fay und natürlich wieder mit mir, Verena. So, welcome again, Ellen. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Verena. Love being with you.
So, we already talked about so many things, and I can tell you, I quoted you, I think, already 150 times in the last couple of weeks.
Cool.
No, because you gave me a lot of insights that I would have never gained from just, Googling around. So talking with somebody who has been also such a constant in the development of professional organizing in the US, that is just a different perspective. And this I would like to give to the German or European audience now. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure, thanks. I'm happy to share everything I can to help all of you. To me, this profession is just so amazing because you can help people, you can make choices for yourself. I love working for myself. I love allowing my business to grow and evolve as it wants. So my first career was in hospitality. I was a hotel manager. I worked 70, 80, 90, 100 hours a week consistently. And it was so much fun. I mean, I worked hard, but when it was time to have a family, I did not want to work 80 and 90 hours a week. It was a choice I made. So I left hospitality. I did some consulting for a few years. And then I said, okay, it's time to go back to work. And I want to work for myself. What can I do? So I looked around and I decided, oh, I should be a professional organizer.
But how did you know back in the time?
So this was 2000, this was 2001 when I started my business. About a year before, I had done some work in my own home, and I did most of it, the project myself. I, you know, hired contractors, got new furniture, but I know what I'm good at, and I'm good with space and big vision, but I'm really not good at window treatments and tchotchkes and little tiny stuff. So I hired an interior designer to help me finish the project. And she came in and she saw what I did. And she saw my notebook and she said, "Oh my gosh, you should be a professional organizer."
Okay.
And I said, "Oh, what?" So it was always in the back of my head after she said that. So I'm very analytical. And when I was trying to figure out what career, I wanted something that was a real profession, that I could make a decent living, but I still was very sensitive to myself as a workaholic and wanting, and that I needed to have enough control in place so I could have a decent quality of life. So I went through all of the options and I decided I would start this business as a professional organizer. And I started out installing closet systems and doing kitchens and playrooms and pantries and that kind of thing. And then I was really lucky. We have, do you know HGTV?
Yeah.
It's a U.S.
I do. Yeah.
Home and garden television. Yeah. So they had done their first organizing show called Mission Organization.
And already back in
2001.
2002. Oh, two, okay.
So I got an episode with them in 2003. So I've been a professional organizer and organizing on national television, which gave me a whole bunch of credibility. And from there, it just built and it built. And then I started, you know, being in people's homes, seeing, oh, you have a home-based business, and getting into their home offices. And then saying, she goes, oh, you know, a client might say, "Oh, can you go help my husband? Or can you go help me in at work? You've helped me so much at home. Can you come help me in my office?" So I would go and help people in small. I never wanted to go back to corporate. I chose not to do that. But I was doing a lot of small business, entrepreneurial ventures. So I was doing move from residential to business organizing. I mean, I never gave up residential. I just added business organizing.
Okay.
And then in 2009, I wanted to learn more. I went through coach training and I became a certified organizer coach. And I was just about to launch, you know, that organizing coaching career when I went on the NAPO National Board for 7 years and I was president.
Did you start from, like, when you started your business, did you become a member from the very beginning in
from
NAPO?
The very, very beginning. It was the very first thing I did.
Okay.
And back then, NAPO didn't have education, but they did have a local chapter. I lived outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So I was able to go to that chapter and meet people just like me. And that was super cool. Right. And then, you know, there was a few of us that we were all starting our businesses together. We'd get together once a month for dinner. We would talk. We'd share questions, ideas. So NAPO provided, like I always say, without NAPO, I don't know if I could have done it. Because I would have been, I wouldn't have had anywhere to get my questions answered.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think mostly for me, I would have been really lonely and really felt very isolated.
Yeah.
But because I had that social network from NAPO and like-minded colleagues, that provided to me that connection that I needed. Because as an entrepreneur, and I've worked for myself and by myself for 22 years now, you know, I needed connection.
Yeah, like, of course.
Like you and I met because of a colleague I met from NAPO.
Yeah.
So I met Christy, you met Christy, and here we are. And
exactly.
I get to meet people all. And when I was president, I got to travel all over the world. And I have friends in the Netherlands and in England. And now I have you in Germany. And so it's really amazing the network you get from that.
Okay.
So anyway, I was doing great doing organizing and coaching. And then I moved to Florida and I still would go up to Pennsylvania a week, a month and see my hands-on clients. And then the pandemic hit and I stopped traveling. So now I'm doing full-time coaching on productivity and leadership. But it all evolved gradually and beautifully from starting as a residential organizing professional doing closets and pantries and playrooms and garages, just like most of your people do too.
Would you say this is a normal way of evolving also in the US, where you say you start usually with going to clients because you need to understand what challenges they have, right? And what they are facing, and that you can also learn and talk to clients.
It makes me a much better productivity coach.
Okay.
Not every productivity. Well, most productivity coaches just tell people what works for them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I talked about in my new book, is that I'm not telling you what works for me. I'm pulling all that knowledge and resources from working with so many people for so mm-hmm. long and helping you come up with a system that works for you. Mm-hmm. But in NAPO and in my circle of colleagues, there are so many possibilities that you could start as a generalist. And there are many, many people who love being a generalist and stay with that. I have a number of colleagues. I call them, I mean, they're friends, but they're colleagues that have been doing this 20, 15, 20 years, and they're still a generalist and they love it. And that's mm-hmm. perfectly fine.
Yeah, of course.
You don't have to niche if you don't want to. You know, like a primary care physician, an internist, I don't know what you call them in Germany, but like a pediatrician, they're just doctors that know, that do have, they're generalists, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you don't have to, but a lot of people do end up niching, some in productivity, a lot in move manager, working with seniors, some do financial organizing, some do photo organizing.
Yes, I mean, we have that too. Yeah.
I know there's a billion. I mean, there is as many ways to niche and to grow and to create your own business as your mind can conceive. Mm-hmm. So I really love, and I think it's so important to empower professional organizers, home organizers, whatever you want to call them, to like really explore and find out what they love mm-hmm. and to do it, just not to be afraid of to try something. And if they love it, great, stick with it. Do it till you want to do something else. So the industry is so expansive and so flexible. So it mm-hmm. gives you a lot of options.
Mm-hmm. Zooming out a little bit to the whole market. So in 1984, you mentioned NAPO was founded.
Yes.
Why do you think in that time? Because looking at the European market, it would be... I think 2004, like around that time when the first organizers in Germany founded yeah. their first businesses. So 20 years later. So why do you think in the US it started in the 80s already?
So it started in California, and California is always a little bit ahead of the rest of the country. Mm-hmm. But there was always a need. There is always a need for support in the areas of what organizers do. You know, the more women that have professional careers and are not full-time, you know, housekeepers or moms, I mean, you know, homemakers or moms, let's call them that. But, you know, it's just too much to do by yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think it's part of the self-care movement too. Mm-hmm. If you want to take care of yourself, you go get support in an area that you need support in. Mm-hmm. So these really creative entrepreneurs saw an opening, and one started doing it, another started doing it, and then they all realized they were all doing it, and they said, let's get together, and they met in this, I don't know which founder it was, but they met in one of the NAPO founders' living room, and they started talking and said, oh my God, I'm doing the same thing. And that was the beginning of NAPO. So okay. It's just being open to possibilities. And then from there, they found, oh, there's people in New York doing it. And then they started out as, I think, the California Associate, you know, Professional Organizers. Then they became the National Association of mm-hmm. Professional Organizers. And, you know, now we're the National Association for Productivity and Organizing Professionals. It keeps growing.
Yeah.
But then they started having, like, I think probably around 1988 or 89 national conferences, bringing people from all over the country together. And now we have international people attend our conferences. So mm-hmm. it was just a beautiful evolution.
I want to go. When is the next one?
Next spring in Las Vegas.
I'll be there.
You should come. I'll get you the dates.
Okay, great.
We'll see.
Because that sounds exactly what we are doing right now in Germany, but it's very interesting to see that we are just 40 years later doing all of that kind of stuff.
So
And
here's
but
the
what
dates, March 30th, 31st, and April 1st. If you just go to napo.net and click the annual summit button, you'll get all the information on the conference.
Las Vegas, that's amazing. I will be there.
Oh,
I
good.
will make it happen.
Me too, in person. You absolutely should come. It is just, it helps you think bigger than yourself. It helps you
Yes.
see growth opportunities. It feels so good to be with people that are just like you. People say, "Oh, I found my people." Very
You
cool.
know, we are planning the Orvention now. It's going to be in 4 weeks in Frankfurt, close to Frankfurt, with about 60 to 70 organizers. So that's the first, like, let's say, diverse meeting where everybody from all the
Sounds great.
certifiers and with different backgrounds, they all meet there. That's the very first one that we're doing.
That is foundational. You're going to have the best time, and it's going to be fabulous for everyone. Good job. Very excited for you.
So the NAPO, and what I really liked when I was browsing around the NAPO website as well, is that you also have different working groups, right? You have different focus areas. That's also something that we are still exploring. Usually we have people offering maybe, your closet or when just kitchen,
Right.
everything that's your household. But what you have when it comes to focus areas, you have so many more than we have.
And they evolved over time. It took a long time. So we call them special interest groups. And when I was talking to you before about all the different ways to niche, that's how we came up with our special interest groups. So I just pulled this up. We have an authorship and publishing special interest group, and that's for people who blog or write books, business organizing and productivity, coaching. The environmentally conscious organizers have their own special interest group, and I know you talked to my friend Meg about that. People who specialize in helping people with hoarding disorder, so that's really unique. So they have their, it's kind of a subgroup to support each other. Holistic organizers, if you want to take it from a energy and overall well-being perspective, moving and relocation, speaking for fees, because that's a great business, technology, working with seniors, and then we also have this multi-person business SIG, and that's for people who have employees. And that's, this is becoming, so all of this, we started the SIGs, and I'd say about 15, 18 years ago. I'd say 15 years ago, somewhere around there, because it took a while. It took a while for us to have that and for us to, form all these special interests. But then, this is to help people really up level their businesses and make them better. So now, if you've proven, like, I'm a certified coach, so I could join the coaching SIG. So we're talking high level stuff.
So this is not that everybody can just join that focus group. You already have to have like a career in that area, or you have to have certain experience that you bring in order for them.
It's not to, it's like there are so many courses through Napo University to educate people on the basics, but these are not groups for the basics. These are people, once you've established yourself and then you want to connect on a monthly basis with like-minded colleagues who are doing the same thing, that's what the special interest groups are for. Yeah, it's
Very
cool.
interesting, because I feel that org art and Ordnungswelt, those somehow, even though we're not, I mean, of course you're an inspiration, but I'm not looking into all the details, but still we are moving into the same direction. It's very interesting. Apparently this is just the way to go, right? So how is the education generally in the US? When you want to become an organizer, you can, I believe, also do it without any training. You just test yourself.
Sure, of course. So, anyone can start a business as a professional organizer. And then there are a lot of, there are some companies that provide their own training and their own, either a certificate or a specialist. They, give you a badge to put on your site. When I started in 2001, there was not any option. So you had to really educate yourself. Like there was NAPO chapter meetings, NAPO conferences.
Mm-hmm.
NAPO education was just started.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like what we call NAPO University today.
Okay.
So it was just getting started like around 2002 and 3. So it has grown and it is now, NAPO University is a very, very robust, hundreds of courses to take. So they have the basic courses. Like to move, when you join NAPO, you come in as a provisional member. To move to a professional member,
mm-hmm.
you have to take a productivity and organizing skills course, a principles course, plus an ethics course. So one of the things that when you join, if you're a NAPO member, you can proudly say, I follow the NAPO Code of Ethics.
Mm-hmm.
It gives the consumer confidence that the person they're hiring is, you know, bound by a code of ethics. So mm-hmm. that's very helpful. The education in NAPO now we've got a library of conference recordings for a number of years, you know, courses on the basics, courses more in depth. I bet you there's 150, 200 courses in the learning system. And we offer a number of specialist certificates, residential organizing, moving relocation, brain-based conditions. I'm doing this off the top of my head. Workplace productivity, team productivity. So if you want to get a badge and have a specialty, you could go take education, a series of courses around that topic and mm-hmm. get a specialist certificate. And they're mm-hmm. bundled, so they're very cost-effective. Separate from that is the Board of Certified Professional Organizers, BCPO. And that is separate, but that is like the pinnacle. Like if you're going on a path to the most qualified and certified you can be,
yeah,
I would say you take the provisional courses and then you become a professional member. Or even if it's your people who want more education, they could take that and just learn a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably... then you would go take a couple specialist certificates in areas that are of interest to you,
mm-hmm.
get some good hours under your belt. And then when you're ready and you have the hours and you've studied, you could sit for the exam for it to be a certified professional organizer.
So that is the CPO, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the CPO, you cannot just do in the very beginning, because that's what we have in Germany. Usually when you enter that business field, then you start with the certification because they equip you with all the business knowledge, how to start your and run right. your business, how to get your first clients and all of that. So that's what they have. And then we are now building, let's call it some operational knowledge that you need when you are a professional organizer. You hit other challenges that when you just start, right?
Right. So to be a certified professional organizer through mm-hmm. the BCPO, you have to have 1,500 hours hands-on with clients.
Okay.
So that takes a few years to build that up.
Okay.
So for us, our certification is more, like if you think of a doctor that's board certified, it's more of a proven path you know, excellence that you've got hours and education and experience behind you.
Mm-hmm.
So it really means you're getting the highest caliber of mm-hmm. professional.
But then as this is already so professional, you told me that in 2014, you or the NAPO tried to get professional organizing registered in, I'm not sure how you call it. It's like a job list of official yeah. jobs, right, in the U.S. that you have.
Yeah.
But it was denied. How is that possible?
Well, the government doesn't get it yet, you know?
Still?
I think we could have applied again like 5 years later. And I'm not on the board anymore, so I don't know if they have.
Okay.
But it doesn't impact anything. It's mm-hmm. just a published job list that you could check a box.
Mm-hmm.
So... it doesn't matter to any of us if there's a job number code associated mm-hmm. with our profession or not.
Okay. Is there no implication, no, like making it more professional? Because in Germany,
no.
everything is about having a certificate, having an official organization, certifying that whatever you learn has a certain right to be learned. You know what I mean? That's nothing. You don't have that.
We are not licensed, like a therapist
mm-hmm.
or a physical therapist or somebody like that has to have a license, go through a licensing process to practice their field. We are not licensed in the United States. Mm. So until somebody decides we should be, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure that's necessary, we're mm-hmm. pretty well self-regulated mm-hmm. and it works really well. That's why we like everyone to join NAPA, so we have a certain standard and a certain level of excellence. Mm-hmm. So at least we know you're if you're a professional organizer, you're subscribing to our code of ethics and you have a basic education knowledge and you have a network of colleagues to get support from. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm a big fan of NAPA, because it helps raise the bar for the entire profession, mm-hmm. as opposed to somebody who just decides to go and we say, hang out a shingle, put a sign up in the coffee shop that says, I'm an organizer now, I'll come. Well, who's to say that they would do a good job? Yeah. And who's to say that they would make ethical choices? So having NAPA we're a nonprofit, we are not for profit. Mm-hmm. And that's a little different. So we're just there to support. It's member, it's volunteer. We have a staff, but we're still very volunteer led and volunteer owned. Mm-hmm. So the members own it, and the board makes the decision for it, and our staff just executes the board's vision.
Mm-hmm. Now, the American market in general is also quite service oriented, right? If we look, for example, for when people work in hospitality or the service industry, they rely heavily on tips, you know, on stuff like that, right? So people tend to tip a lot, and people also are more willing to pay for services than we are in Germany.
Interesting.
That's why it's very, very tough. And there have been in the past several approaches to, well, get an NGO into place, mm-hmm. but people are not willing to do that at the moment because the market is not as, well, mature as the US market is.
Right, right.
And that also the customers are not as ready.
Well, they have a different perspective. In the US, I would have to say our biggest commodity in the United States is time. Mm-hmm. So the reason a lot of people hire professional organizers is because they don't have time to do it themselves, or they don't want to take the time to learn to do it themselves. And by bringing a professional in, it goes much faster. They don't have a learning curve. They just get it done. Mm-hmm. And so we are willing to pay for things to help us save time.
Is the market really, because I wanted to talk to you about like a typical American customer, do they value time so high? Is that something you have really?
Oh, 1,000,000,000%. Time is, no one has time to do everything that they need to do. You know, especially since the pandemic, and I see this a lot with my coaching clients, it is so complex to get anything done. We have really a labor shortage. And it, like, where in the before you had to call and maybe set up your television service provider or whatever, it would take you 5-10 minutes. Now you're on hold for an hour. Everything takes so long that mm-hmm. basically running our lives in itself is a full-time job. And then people are working, and some people work more hours than others. And there's a lot going on. And if it's like, I want to organize my closet, it is so much more efficient to hire a professional that could come in. You could do it in 3 hours, in and out, done. Or people, you know, I need to move. I don't have time to pack. Let's hire an organizer to come help me. And that organizer, they'll sort everything and they'll say, okay, these are the things. Do you want to let go of these things? Do you want to take, let's go through your books.
Yes. So
they'll facilitate that casting off process. And then they'll pack you, and then the movers will come and move you, and then they'll meet you in your new house and they'll unpack you and put everything away. So if you don't have time to do that yourself, there are tons of professional organizers here that do that.
But doesn't the American client have that, because we have that in Germany so much, you're entering the most personal level a person can have, right?
Yes.
And Germans are very, how to say that? They are
private.
Very private.
Yeah.
Like looking into a closet is like, oh my God, or into their like personal documents or anything.
Ooh. So my dad was German, so I'm half German, right?
Okay.
So I totally get what you're talking about.
Okay, good.
Because I was raised with that.
Okay.
And it blew me away that somebody would say, you know, go in my, like, go, just go organize my sex toys for me. People here aren't that shy. They're not, they're different. But that's, you know, with really, like, I always had a rule. I would never open someone's nightstand without asking,
yes,
you know, about that. You know, you learn those things.
Yeah.
But people are not, you know, they just want help, and they're so desperate for help that they're really open to getting that support. And I agree, it's a very intimate relationship. You get very, very close with your clients because mm-hmm. they build trust and respect. And I think it's really, like, to me, I really believe there's never judgment.
Mm. That's what everybody says as well in Germany. No judgment at all.
Because there can't be. We all have gifts. We all are good at certain things.
Yeah.
And I think it's really a real gift. And it shows humility and humanity to say, this is an area I am not good at. I need mm-hmm. support. And I care enough about myself that I want to get help so I can overcome this obstacle. Let me hire someone who can help.
Yeah, I think here maybe it's more like, I can do it myself. So I don't want to show that this is like something I can't, because usually I can't something and then I'm hiring somebody.
Right.
It's like, it's the same thing with cleaning. Still in Germany, a lot of people say, hey, I have a full-time job. Mom and dad, they have a full-time job, two kids. And then still they argue about whether or not having somebody helping them with cleaning, because I can do it myself. They didn't value, or they don't value the time that they are saving that they have for their families then. Right?
Well, I wonder if it's, cultural that you have more time, that, like, our careers in the United States, we don't have as much vacation time.
True.
Right?
True.
We work longer work days. I have plenty of clients that work 50, 60, and 70 hours a week. Mm-hmm. So if you're spending that much time working, it is, to me, if you have to choose between, if I have 4 free hours on the weekend, on Saturday, do I want to learn a language? Do I want to go with my kid to the soccer field? Do I want to paint, follow a hobby or a passion? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do I want to be with friends and family? Or do I want to clean my house? It's really, cleaning your house is a low value task. I would rather pay someone to clean my house and do my own business accounting in that same time than pay somebody 3 or 4 times more to do business accounting, because I like to do accounting.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So why would I not have someone clean my house? Why would I? I mean, to me, that is the easiest decision to make.
We are now going into that area of educating that you only have so much time. It's also a resource that's running out, and you should really make conscious decisions on where you want to spend it and with whom and with what. And as you mentioned, you like numbers, maybe, then you do your taxes. That's amazing. But if you hate grocery shopping, maybe there's also people doing that for you.
Exactly. So you hire people to do the things that you don't like to do, or you can't do, or you don't do well, or you don't have time to do.
Yeah.
And I would say in the United States that time is a much, much more valuable commodity than money.
Mm-hmm.
I would define our culture now.
But now.
Now that time is much more precious than money.
Okay. Did you see that? That was a shift in the last couple, or in the last years and decades, maybe?
I would say from when I started to now, 100%. Very much so.
Yeah. And we also talked about, because that is a number that we are handling in Germany, that like the average person in the US has about 30,000 things in, big homes and, cars and everything. And the average German has about 10,000 things, which is already a lot, because looking at 100 years back, it was about 100, 180 things, like 10 times as much, right?
Yeah.
So How do you think the consumer behavior changed also in the last couple of decades?
Well, we are seeing, and I suspect you too, that our younger generations, like the kids, the 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds, they do not want all this stuff. They do not want their parents' stuff. They do not want the pressure of taking care of all these things. In the cities, they live in very small spaces because of the cost of property. And, there are always going to be people, I suspect, here that like a lot of things and have big homes, but that's also shifting. And like the children that grew up in that, they're like starting to say, I don't want that. That's not for me. So I think we are starting to have that more minimal approach and streamline. And there will always be people who like a lot of stuff, but I do see the trend here that people just like to have less. It's just so much work to take care of all that stuff.
Yes.
I have very little. I'm like total minimalist and just I try not to buy things just because I don't want to have to take care of them.
And you know what? Now, as I'm not sure if you're following that with the war in Ukraine right now, everything is getting very, very expensive here in Germany. And if you're living below your income, like right, if you do that, then you don't have so much stress right now of the cost of living,
Going
being
up.
going up. Yeah. You don't have that so much. Of course, it's annoying for everyone, but if you're living paycheck to paycheck, and if you just spend everything you have, even though you don't need it, if you do that, then you are now into stress.
Exactly. We
Where?
have the same thing here. I mean, our inflation is up.
Yeah.
It's the pandemic, it's the war, it's the gas prices.
Yes.
And, to think that it's just the place and time we are. And I haven't heard anyone here put it in those terms, but I think you're right that the stress, the financial stress of not being, of overcommitting, why would you do that? Let's just like, I mean, to me, this is all a quality of life issue. Organizing, productivity, how we live, these are choices that make our life better.
Yeah. Do you in the US have in your education system, because I'm trying to figure out internationally if any kind of education system is focusing on these kind of topics, because that is how you want to live your life, how to manage your life. It's money, it's things, it's what to consume, how to consume,
No, we have
stress,
nothing.
nothing, right? But this is extremely essential for a stable society that each member knows how to manage their lives and organize an organized
That's why we
approach on
have
everything.
jobs. That is why we have jobs. My kids are out of university now. They're 26 and 29. So I've followed them through everything. I think towards the end of their, we call it high school, you call it, what is like before you go to university, what do you call it?
Abitur, A levels, and then we
A
go
levels.
into yeah.
So they're now required to take a financial literacy course, to
Okay.
understand how to, manage finances, which is important. But that's about it. I have a lot of colleagues that help organize student organizing. It's another niche. Help teach kids how to organize their studying, their calendars, their backpacks, their schoolwork.
Yeah.
You just don't naturally know that. Some people do. A few people do. We do because that's who, why
Yeah, that's the
we
passion that we have. Yeah.
right. But most people need to be taught that. And I say in my book, I talk about that you wouldn't expect yourself to sit down and play the piano without a piano lesson. A couple people can, but most of us need to learn how to play the piano. And it's the same way with organizing and productivity. There has to be a way to be taught. So you either hire an expert, you read a book, you listen to a podcast. I think you should do all three.
Yeah. So you wrote a book on productivity.
I did. I
And
did.
can you please quickly tell me about the difference between organizing and productivity?
Sure. So organizing is much more about space and things and stuff. And like if I was organizing somebody's office, We would look at their desk setup, their paper. It's getting less, but people still have paper. Maybe their email flow, their technology. It's more tangible and stuff. Whereas productivity is making choices about your time, your goals, getting clear on your priorities, how to organize your to-do list so you're doing the right things in the right way for you at the right time, coming up with your conditions to work best. So really what this book is, it's called Productivity for How You're Wired. It's available on Amazon if anyone's interested. But it's really about helping you identify how to work best and setting up the conditions so you can do your best work. And the subtitle is Better Work, Better Life. And we talked about that this is a quality of life issue. So organizing and productivity, I don't want you to be organized or productive so you could say, oh, I am organized. I'm productive. That's not the point. The point is, I want you to have a better quality of life. So once you understand about yourself, and we do that in section one, and we create some systems. Section one, we talk about everything from figuring out how you're wired and how to set up a system that's going to match who you are. We talk about procrastination, perfectionism, burnout, balance, boundaries, all of those things in your head that you really have to get through. Then section two helps you create some systems that match who you are. How to, like people say, I don't even know what's important. So we do some priority setting. And then we come up with, can you really fit everything in your life you want to do? And that's, I have an exercise called time mapping. And I have online tools that go with the book. And so you get a clear picture. Like one woman hired me. She had just changed jobs. She had a second child. She wanted to do all this stuff. And when we did her time map, we fit it all in. But the only problem was she could only sleep 2 hours a night. And only when she saw it in on paper with a clear picture did she say, oh, you know what? I can hire someone to clean my house. And my husband needs to do the laundry, and I don't need to do that. And the babysitter can make the lunches. And
So
she
you
still has.
give work to other people maybe as well.
Right. If you can't do everything you want to do, you then have to make choices because time is finite. You can't buy more time. So we have to help people. Like a lot of my clients call me and they say, how do I get more done? Well, then I say, what if you work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Could you get it all done? No. So then they have to start making choices. What do I say yes to and what do I say no to? So those are the things that we look at from a productivity perspective. So it's not as much the tangible, how many pens do I need? Or where do I put my supplies so I can access them so I can be as efficient at my desk as possible? It's more as, what are you going to say yes to, and how are you going to use your time so you could get your high value work, your important things done? And then the third part of the book is just more application, like email and time hacks, and a lot on leadership, leading productive teams, and helping you make better decisions for yourself, how to motivate yourself. So it's pretty all encompassing. I'm really proud of it. I think, the feedback I've gotten is that people really think it's helping, and it's finally a different approach to productivity. Because, like I said, I don't tell you what works for me. I'm telling you how to figure out what works for you and giving you ideas. And like every chapter ends with a chart that says, if your structure preference is low structure, try this. If it's moderate structure, try this. If you like high structure, try this. So it's a real roadmap for change.
But organizing and productivity, they impact each other very, very much, right?
Very
Because
much.
the basis of it, of being productive, is that you know what you have in your space, that that this is already there.
Absolutely. Right.
And
So
then
when
from
I
there you can make your choices. Because if you don't know what you have and what you're focused, what you need to focus on, then you cannot make choices and priorities.
When I first started organizing, the very first question I would talk to my clients about is, what are your goals? How do we know when we're successful? Mm-hmm. Well, I want to be able to relax in my family room. I want to be able to sit down and be with my family and not feel stress and pressure that there's so much stuff to do and that I'm not looking at clutter and that my systems for running my house are in place so I can relax when I want to relax. So you're starting with goals about how you want to live. Well, productivity is the same thing, but organizing is more about stuff.
Mm-hmm. As you said.
Whereas productivity is just more about time.
Yeah. And then you maybe go further even and say, there is one author, I'm not sure if you know the book, Pick Three.
I have not read that book.
But so there's different areas in your life and you cannot, it's simply not possible to focus on all of them, like your health, your family, your friends, your work, your blah, 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 all on the same level. It is not possible. You need to make choices.
You need to make choices. Right.
So see, I think that level we didn't even enter yet. So please send us the link to your book. We will put it in our list because we are also referring books on our platform.
Thank you. I absolutely will. So what's really for some of your listeners and some of your organizers who come from maybe a business background or like that, this is a real area they can grow into as, you know, maybe sliding into business organizing and then productivity. Mm-hmm. So I wrote this book for people who, my ideal reader is somebody in business who's not afraid of working hard. They just need to know there's an easier way. But I also wrote it for professional organizers and productivity consultants and coaches and therapists and all these helping professionals that are out there giving advice. They need to have a really core base of knowledge so they're not giving the wrong advice. So I would say everyone in your organization who might enter helping somebody would really, really benefit from reading the book because they then that makes them more valuable to their clients. Because let's say they go in to a home and all of a sudden one of the people, their parents, partners, whoever, is struggling with something from work. And they say, oh, I can help you. I can help you set up your phone, or I can help you set up your technology. Oh, and look, your to-do list. Here's some ideas on how you can be more effective to make this fit you if you're stuck and you're struggling. So just like people get stuck and struggle with their stuff, they get stuck and struggle with their
everything. Yeah.
Their business organization.
With their personal organization and business. Yeah.
Right. So all of a sudden, you may now have finished organizing that person's home. You could come back for maintenance every 3 months. But if you make yourself educated and valuable in another realm, you are staying with that client. And we all know from business school, it's much easier to keep a client than it is to get a new client. It costs much more money. In American business school, they teach us it costs much more money to get a new client.
Yeah.
So you can make yourself more valuable to your clients and offer more services, then you just keep going back to that client. That's the magic. So I really believe that my book, Productivity for Higher Wired, and I will send you the Amazon link, can provide a really foundation for the people going through your training to help add skills to their tool belt to make them more valuable to their clients.
I think this is a very, very good point. And as I have an information meeting tomorrow for, and I think 120 people are already registered for that, I will add this information because they want to know, okay, how's the evolution of an organizer? And I think productivity is something we didn't even cover yet. Maybe some, they do it, but they are not aware that they are doing it.
I'm sure they are, but they just don't have the language to explain what they're doing.
And then if you need to have the language in order to sell it to your client and to make yourself valuable on that next level, right?
I mean, you know, we spend so much on education in our businesses. So I think this is a minimal investment to learn, to give yourself a real core base. I'm also in the next year, in 2023, going to start doing group coaching on the book.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to be able to reach more people fast, mm-hmm. Faster, and you can only do so much one-on-one. So I'm going to start to do small group work on the book. So maybe that's something if somebody's interested in, they'd want to look at too.
Cool. Well, keep us posted on everything you guys are doing or you are doing. I mean, we have a lot of people who also did, by the way, the CPO and other courses on NAPO. So they are also looking into the American market. So for sure, let me know what you're doing.
There's a lot, we've learned. So you guys might as well
just take that knowledge.
That's right. That's right. But, it's what I have to say about it, the organizing and productivity profession here is we're very supportive. We really like each other, the professionals in NAPO. I mean, we're friends. I traveled. We did a Rhine River cruise from Amsterdam down to Vienna right before the pandemic with six or I think maybe eight of my closest NAPO friends. We traveled together. So it's really a unique group of people. And I love this profession. I'm just so excited for you that you figured this out for Germany and that you're now providing a way for people to find success here. That's fabulous.
I have one last question. As you mentioned also in our first talk that there's not so many men yet and women tend to have that certain, let's say, when there's only women in a group, you have that tension sometimes, right? How did you overcome that?
Well, I would say when I started at NAPO in 2001, there were 5 men and now there's probably a few hundred.
Okay.
So all of a sudden, it becomes very clear that this is a very viable business, a good profession. You can make a great living. And there are men that love this too. And, they all find their areas of expertise and that's what they go for. It's very welcoming. Everyone is welcome at NAPO.
And the women between each other as well, because sometimes you can feel that. You don't want this other person to be successful. They're copying me, this kind of.
We talk about, and it's in our code of ethics, not to steal someone's intellectual property and to give people credit.
Yeah.
But what we know is that this is saying the high tide lifts all boats, that one is better, we're all better, that there is clearly enough work for all of us.
Yes.
Because I never meet anyone when I say what I do, their answer is always, I need you.
Yeah.
So everyone needs us. The more of us there are, the more we are educated and trained and do a really professional job, the better experience our clients will have. The more they'll talk about it, the more mainstream it will become. And just like everyone has a lawyer or a tax accountant, we want everyone to have that level of professional organizer, productivity consultant, coach, whatever, because it's not competitive. I get calls all the time for work. Either I can't take, it's not a good fit for me. The fact that I have colleagues that I could say, call Teresa, call Casey, call Sina, they can help you and just put their web links in. I got a request yesterday for a speaking engagement. I'm already booked that day. And I just shot back an email that said, I'm sorry, I can't help you, but here's 3 people that can.
Yeah.
And this person was, oh my gosh, that was just, so that is really high level service. So
Thank
we help
you.
Each other. So Ugh. We may do the same thing, but we all do it differently. I'm not the coach or the organizer for everyone. And I will refer someone that's not a good fit to somebody that I know who's a good fit. And when you know them, it's so much more authentic. And that person who's reaching out feels so safe that they continue on and then they get the support they need.
You are speaking from the bottom of my heart.
Exactly.
To be honest. This is exactly 180% what we are going into the direction. Because sometimes people call me and say, hey, Verena, do you think, because there's so many people out there, we need another organizer out there? And I'm like, 100 times yes, because you will focus on a different, well, target group, your different clients, you have different focus areas, something you're good at, and you're not a fit to everyone, right?
So right.
Let's
Unless
do
the
this.
more of us there are, the more people understand what we do and that that option is available.
Yeah.
When I first started, people would say, "You're a what?" And I would have to explain it.
Yeah.
Now people know what a professional organizer is.
Nice. That's exactly our target.
And that's what we want.
That is the perfect ending of the podcast, I would say. That's what we want. We want to educate the world on professional organizing.
Everyone should have their own professional organizer.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, is there anything we didn't cover?
No, I am so glad to talk. I want to come to your conference next year.
Yes.
Just let me know. I'll come speak about something. I have some topics for you.
All right. So you will be our American speaker, and I'll try to bring my co-founders and maybe some others also to the NAPO.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
Awesome.
You'll have a great time.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, then thank you very much, Ellen. This was
thank you so much for having me.
Pleasure again to have you. And well, I'm pretty sure we will hear from you and from your colleagues very soon again.
Great. Excellent. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Das war's auch schon für heute. Danke, dass du dabei warst. Wir freuen uns auf die nächste geordnete Runde mit dir. Happy Days, deine Verena.